Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Welcome to the show. We're done with Downward Dog, Limber Up for Laughter Yoga. Getting the giggles is great for physical and mental health, and it doesn't even matter if you fake it. Because we've said this before on the show. Do you smile because you're happy, or can you be happy because you smile? And the answer is both. Often, you know, if you ask a Zen master, you know, every day you might bump into your local Zen master.
Yeah.
And you ask them a question, and you say, you know, should I do this or should I do that? And their answer will always be yes. Because that's the Zen answer. It's cool, isn't it? You can use that with Matthew later when he's forgotten, like, what his name is, how old he is, what planet he's on, and he asks you for fatherly advice. You just go, yes, Matthew.
Yes,
Matthew. Nikki's mum having a party on Sunday, letting all the kids come round. What's going on? Something going on there. What's going on there?
Did her kid have an inset day or something?
Well, they might have done. I don't know.
Does Matthew have an inset day?
Nope.
You sure?
Yep.
So crazy. What time did he get ready to go?
He left just after we'd finally got married.
Have you checked that Nikki's mum had a party?
Yeah.
No, that was a no yes.
I haven't checked, but I don't doubt it.
Why not?
Because I can tell when he's lying to me, and that wasn't one of the times.
No, you think you can. You think you can.
Maybe he's got better at lying.
Yeah, of course he has. And by the way, he's him 24 hours a day.
Mm. Actually, though, having said that, though,
come on,
saying that your friend's mum's having a party... That's not a great lie, is it? Because you'd be like, well, why is the
genius of it, though. The no makeup look. The no lie.
But then obviously you could call the mum, couldn't you?
Yep.
Yeah, he's not going to do that, though, is he? Because he can't be bothered.
Well, Caroline might.
Yeah, Caroline might. But Caroline's not a part of the triangulation of this scenario at the moment. He's never checked on anything, this bloke in front of you. Matthew knows Matthew's going to say to himself, my dad will say to himself, so my dad's going to say to my dad that I'm going to check, and then he's not going to check because that's the world he lives in. Yeah?
Yep.
Good. Hunt is on for Harry Potter child stars who will cast the spell and make millions. So this was in the papers yesterday in the Sunday Times, page 3. Also, Rexappeal, the little football team that's now big in America. So this is, of course, to do with Wrexham, because who owns Wrexham? Ryan Reynolds and his friend, whose name very, very few people are willing to even try to pronounce, which is why Ryan Reynolds has put together this mega production of how to pronounce his partner's name. This is not his life partner. This is his mate and his partner in Wrexham, who's also a very famous actor. So Ryan, you know, I've had bumps in the road with this name, because you just look at it and also it's to do with Wrexham, and that's got a silent W. You just think, hang on, we're in Wales, and you just get sort of pronunciation phobia.
Yep.
When you think about all this. So anyway, he sorted it out.
Sure, he's got a pretty face.
This is Ryan Reynolds singing.
People know. They think they recognize him from his big time TV show, but despite the accolades, despite the load of fame, one thing that they do not know is how to say his name. Pronouncing all those N's and E's and H's can perplex them. So here's a little birthday gift from all your mates in Wrexham. It's McElhenny, McElhenny. While ways to massacre and mispronounce it, there are many.
McElhenny.
It's McElhenny.
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 If there was doubt, now there won't be any. It's McElhenny.
You should see the video as well. It's absolutely hilarious.
First it's Mackle like a tackle when we take him to the ground.
Then Henny like the penny that he's in for with the pound.
It's M-C-E-L-H-E. Give it a try. There we go. It's McElhenny, McElhenny. While ways to massacre and mispronounce
How good is that?
Absolutely.
They're having a riot, aren't they?
Having the best time of their lives.
Rob McElhenney, we can all say the name now, yep. And Ryan Reynolds just having the most fun. If you'd told me a year ago I'd be supporting a tiny Welsh soccer team, I would have said you were crazy, says Daisha Lowry from Alabama. But it has taken over my life. My husband and I will be up at 6:45 a.m. on Saturdays to watch the game. We have a little group of locals who also support Wrexham. We call ourselves the Alabama Reds. And this is an article in yesterday's Times. It's fascinating. Wrexham are now getting massive in America because of Rob McElhenney and Ryan Reynolds owning them and them having a riot. And, you know, are they overperforming Wrexham or is this the new Wrexham? Here you go. Another fan from the States, Michael Starkey, 36, is awaiting the arrival of his first passport so he can visit Wrexham next week and watch them play football. A former American football coach, he's become a Wrexham AFC super fan, hosting live chats on Twitter. One 60-year-old fan sent him match day programmes from the 70s. I'm terrified of flying, but I'm prepared to fly 15 hours to see my Wrexham, he says. In 2011, Wrexham fans gave their life savings to raise more than £100,000 in just 7 hours to buy the club and save it. This struck a chord with this chap here. If the Dallas Cowboys were going bankrupt, people would just find another team. But people in Wrexham came together. People in Wrexham are different. We love Wrexham.
Yeah, fantastic.
It's the best, isn't yeah. it?
What it's amazing.
I wonder what's going to happen, where it's going to go from here. It's funny, isn't it? Because Liverpool have currently, well, over the weekend, gave up on a £130 million bid for one player, Jude Bellingham, from Borussia Dortmund. And Rob McElhenney and Ryan Reynolds bought Wrexham for £2 million, didn't they? And they're having all the fun yeah. with none of the stress yeah. at all. Yes. And that's the thing, isn't it? That's the thing. You know, if you do things for the right reason, doing the right thing is the right thing, and trying to do the right thing is the right thing. And they're just having a right. And you know, the fact that they're so up, they said, look, everybody's having a trouble with Rob's name. Okay, well, let's write a musical about it. That's what we do. And if you, I mean, it's a great song anyway. It's a very sort of Hamilton-esque kind of, you know, contemporary musical style to it. But if you see the video, it's a full-on, it's like a Hollywood, sequence. It's amazing. Then they go to the bars and they go to the people who turn around with the players and go, McElhenney, McElhenney. It's just the best. People just being the best for you know, just for the sake of it. Drivers scramble for cash. Here we go again. What's going on with the world? I think we're turning a corner. Drivers scramble for cash as man throws $200,000 from a car window to bless others.
Aww.
Quote, unquote. Why do you do this? To bless others. A man threw $200,000 out of his car window on a busy highway in the US to bless others with gifts of money. As a result, people driving down Interstate 5 in Oregon, where it happened, stopped their vehicles and jumped out to grab $100 bills. Oregon State Police said this guy, Colin Davis McCarthy, threw the money out of his car window in the city of Eugene at around 7:20 p.m. on April the 11th. It seems to be just because, you know, Captain Kennedy said officers searched the highway for any leftover bills to prevent further hazards.
Yeah.
Yeah. We must close the road because we need to prevent further hazards by finding money. Have a nice day. 2 months today, June 17, in my garden at home, Rod Stewart will be singing for loads and loads of money for Children in Need and all our children's charities to do with Carfest, and also My Black Dog as well, and Young Epilepsy, and all the charities listed. And Rod put himself up for this. June 17. It's 2 months today. It's sold out. 51 pairs of tickets have been sold. Actually, 50 sold and one pair won via a text competition. Talking of winning things, by the way, somebody's won the Queen's Jag. And we can phone them up tomorrow if you like. Should we do that? Which is cool. But if you do want to go and see Rod Stewart and you couldn't get tickets for our gig, then he is touring. Now, the thing is, he's just finished in Australia, okay? So he was touring in Australia. He sent us a lovely video from Australia to do with the Dine and Disco. He and his band, they filmed this video. We put it up on Instagram, and they were having a band dinner. So on the nights they don't work, they all go out for dinner together because there's a real culture with Rod and his gang. And, you know, he is a proper leader. He looks after his band. They've been with him for years and years and years. And now they're just having the time of their life, touring the world, playing all those amazing songs of their bosses as he stands in front of them every night and gives it all the beans at 70-odd years old. 78, is he? Something like that. He sent us this message from Australia.
Chris, thanks, mate. I just want to speak on behalf of the band. We're just thrilled to bits to be playing at your disco at your house. It would have been so lovely, yes. Mate.
Yeah. Yeah. We're so excited. And we just can't hide it.
Yeah.
I love that.
I know that. I love you.
And £1.7 million later, that's a done deal. And that is happening on the 17th of June in our garden. But if you want to go and see Rod, you can do, because he arrived home from the Australian leg of his worldwide tour on Friday. Do you know what he does straight away?
Fills in a pothole.
Nope. Goes straight out to Annabelle's with his wife. So he lands from Australia. It was Friday night / Saturday morning. And then he goes straight out to paint the town red to celebrate a very successful Australian leg of his tour. He's 78, goes straight out. He's in all the papers today, leaving Annabelle's. He and Penny over there. I mean, come on, you know.
Does Penny go on tour with him?
She didn't this time. She does sometimes.
Oh, see, there you go.
Yeah,
so,
big hooker.
I love that. Yeah. I love that.
And he just went out. He's still doing, you know, and if you read his book, he wrote a fantastic autobiography. You know, he talks about Annabelle's in the 70s, going to Annabelle's in the 70s, you know, and then driving his one of his flash cars home back to Buckinghamshire. And he's still doing the same thing in the same club. I mean, come on. What kind of enzymes is... Where's he getting his enzymes from? That's what I want to know. Anyway, you can go and see him on tour. RodStewart.com. So June 24th, that's a week after he's playing in our garden. He's playing at Plymouth at Home Park. So, I mean, we're clearly the warm-up gig for this, aren't we? That's what's going on there. Saturday 24th, Plymouth Home Park Stadium. Wednesday the 28th of June, Northampton Cinch Stadium. Oh, we've got a cinch it. Should we go there? Should we go and see him?
Yeah.
Yeah, because they're seeing him in the garden and they're seeing him in a stadium as well. Then Friday the 30th of June, he's playing at Durham, Seat Unique, Riverside. July, Sunday the 2nd, Bristol Badminton Estate, Worcester Park. Tuesday the 4th of July, this is Rod Stewart, rodstewart.com. Tickets selling now. Hull, Sewell Group, Craven. Thursday the 6th of July, Edinburgh at the Castle. And then again on Friday at the Edinburgh Castle again. By the way, guess who his support is? Only Boy George and Culture Club.
That's amazing.
What kind of night's that going to be?
Oh, my goodness.
If he wants to bring them to the Dine and Disco, that would be fine as well.
It's fine. It's fine anyhow.
Yes, of course it is.
It's fine anyhow. RodStewart.com for Boy George, Culture Club and Rod Stewart. I mean, that could be all the fun there, couldn't it? There might, that might be the end of the fun.
That's it. All done.
There's more fun to be had, though, for the kids, because Harry Potter gets a new look as new TV series is confirmed. Warner Brothers Discovery has confirmed rumours of a sprawling new series that will expand on the original books. It's a 10-year series. They've already planned, they've budgeted for 10 years of this show. We don't know what it's going to be called. It's going to be on a brand new HBO channel called Max. I mean, what a way to launch your channel. What's the best way to launch our new channel? Why don't we just commission 10 years of a new Harry Potter show? Oh, that'll do it.
Yeah.
They should just call it Harry Potter Max or whatever. Anyway, we have our own in-house little wizard, Eli, is here. Good morning, Eli.
Morning.
You've got a little Harry Potter theme going on here. Can you get us up to speed for mums and dads and kids listening around the world?
Harry Potter is casting. Could your child be the star? The brand new Harry Potter TV show will be looking for all new cast in 9 months' time. It has been revealed that the future stars could one day earn millions. A small group of child actors will be picked through open auditions. Agents are now looking for children to add into their team so they can try out for the roles as soon as the auditions are open.
Fancy your chances?
Maybe.
Right, how much do you love Harry Potter?
So much.
Okay, tell us about your wand collection. How many wands do you have?
Six.
Oh, and do they all mean different things?
So basically, some you can all do the same spells with them, but they have different designs and different cores. The cores are basically phoenix feather, dragon's heart, and unicorn's fur. That's basically like the heart of the wand, and it's inside the wand. And there's this person, I forgot his name, but he sells the wands, and he knows every single wand from every single character.
Okay.
And it's really cool.
All right, so how many wands are there in total?
I don't know. Like, maybe like 5,000.
Okay, you have six.
Yeah.
And you have a wand holder.
Yeah.
And so your wands are now out of their boxes. Their boxes are stacked up, but the wands are in the wand. It's actually, you can buy a wand holder, can't you?
Yes.
Okay, favourite spell?
My favourite spell is... I said it to you earlier. What is it?
Sounds like escape or something. What was it?
What does it do?
Expelliarmus or something?
Yes, that one. Expelliarmus.
What does it mean?
It like takes away someone's wand.
Does it? Okay. That seems a bit unfair. How does it work?
So you say Expelliarmus and then you do a circle and then you like point at the person. Their wand will come flying towards you.
What, and you now have two wands?
You can either like throw their wand away, snap it, or like whatever.
Yeah, you don't want to be doing that.
No.
Well, hang on. Some people in the wizarding world aren't that nice, are they? And their wands need to be taken away from them.
Exactly.
You can actually kill them as well, can't you? Because what's that spell?
Avada Kedavra.
Avada Kedavra, not Abracadabra. So if you hear Abracadabra being whispered in your ear by somebody sort of wafting their wand or brandishing their wand in your direction, that might be okay. But Avada Kedavra, good luck. Good luck out there.
Apparently you can buy a wand and it's got a little bit of sort of paper or something in the end. And if you do brandish the spell, it does emit a little spark.
Yeah, but that's just pretend. These are real wands.
I know. But that's for
toy
non-wizards, for muggles like me, that's the best I can hope for.
What's your favourite Harry Potter book or film? And or film?
My favourite one is the fourth one, Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire.
Why is that?
Because I feel like it's the most exciting.
What's interesting about Harry Potter is you're 10, you're about to be 11, aren't you?
Yeah.
But you discovered Harry Potter for the first time.
Yeah.
And so you had all that stuff, you know, all the books to read and all the films to watch, and then you got this new TV show to be in.
Yeah.
What else? Anything else Harry Potter-wise?
There's 7 of them, but there's part 1 and part 2 at the end. They're Deathly Hallows.
Do you know why that was?
No.
Because they were originally one story.
Yeah, because it's one book.
It's one book, yeah, and they're two films.
Yeah.
Do you know why?
Isn't it because like it's too long or something?
It's just because they could make double the money.
Oh.
That's the spell you want to figure out. So if J.K. Rowling's listening now, what's your advice to her for her new Harry Potter TV show?
Put me in it.
No!
Yes!
Okay. Talking about the Harry Potter TV show, which is set to run for 10 years. They haven't cast it yet. They're going to start making it in about 10 months' time, 11 months' time. It's going to run for 10 years. It's going to be on this brand new HBO channel called HBO Max. But everyone's raving currently about this programme called Beef. Now, you saw it for the first time, Sinead, over the weekend. I thought I was watching it on Friday night, and then I had to pause it because it was getting quite late, and I thought, oh, this is a long episode. Then I realised I was watching an Indian film called Beast, not Beef, but it was brilliant. It was like, honestly, it was like James Bond the musical. And it came up straight away on the Netflix interface. So that's why I just thought it was. I thought, oh, I must have misheard it. It's not Beef, it's Beast, because it was like the number one pick. So I watched it halfway through and it was the opening sequence, the fight sequence is, I mean, I don't like fight sequences, but it was off the chain. It was funny, it was clever, you know, and it was unpredictable. And then it settles down and it gets really interesting. And then you're completely engaged with the main character, the sort of Indian James Bond-esque kind of character. It's sort of Bourne meets Bond meets Mission Impossible, right? And then he goes to this sort of do, and he's feeling all forlorn because he's got psychological issues, because it was what happened in the pre-title sequence, this thing that was now a year ago, so it's fast forward 10 months. And he meets this woman at this do, and they go into this full Bangra musical number, which is 11 minutes long. So it's like Daniel Craig going into a full-on musical number, you know, 20 minutes into No Time to Die. But this guy smashes it. Absolutely. So he's a brilliant singer, brilliant action. He must be really famous. Who's the lead in Beast, the Indian film? Who is he? The male lead. What's his name? Vijay. Is he like the biggest star in the world or something like that? It seems like he might be. Anyway, that was Beast. I thought I was watching the show that everybody else was watching. I didn't think I was watching Beef because it says Beast. And it also has double titles. It has a title sequence in Indian and a title sequence in English. It's brilliant. I mean, I loved it, this film. But I still haven't seen Beef, which everyone else is raving about. Sinead's seen it for the first time over the weekend. You nearly watched it all. Your big three for this week is to finish watching Beef.
Yes.
So yeah, how many have you seen?
I think 4.
What's this about?
It's about some beef, really, as in like arguing. Okay, the premise is, it's sort of the very beginning of the first episode, is a bit of a road rage incident and two like cars sort of involved and getting very angry with each other. And the story just develops from there, how like they're trying to get each other back.
Right, that doesn't sound that intriguing.
No,
so,
honestly,
so,
the end
by the
of
way, I know it is. So it's not your normal road rage incident,
no,
I would imagine.
No, it's funny, okay?
Is there a twist straight off the bat?
Well, it's just, yeah, I mean, there's lots of other little smaller storylines going on kind of around it. But basically, the main point of it is these two. It's a man and a woman and just, like, getting quite petty with
each other.
And
isn't the first twist the fact that the man thinks he's chasing another man and then he finds out it's a woman?
Yeah, that's
a big thing. He says, he did this, he did that, he cut me up. And then he finds out it's not a man, it's a woman. And that's the first twist.
And so that, and so he changes his tack on getting revenge on her from one thing to another. So then it just carries on.
Is it just revenge the whole way?
No, I mean, there's lots else going on in terms of their relationships and all that kind of stuff. But those are the funniest moments, though. The revenge is petty and it is
all right,
funny.
Okay, Mira's just said in my headphones, they're both awful people. But she's seen the whole series.
Yeah, neither of them are. Well, no, I think everyone
take it outside,
has,
you two.
Has a redemption arc.
Okay,
Sinead and Mira, take it into the car park, okay?
I don't think they're awful people. I think they've just got stuff going on.
Got
how about that?
Yeah. Well, obviously, I'm still worshipping at the altar of Ted Lasso. Noah's just started watching it because he's just finished watching The American Office, all 10 series of it. Yeah. And he said, Dad, what am I going to do? I said, well, Ted Lasso is waiting for you. And so he started Ted Lasso last night. Then I hear at the end of last week, Jason Sudeikis is going to be on the show in a couple of weeks' time. Ted Lasso's coming to the studio.
Oh, come on.
I know.
I probably won't be here, so it'll be fine.
I'm sorry, what? Because you love him so much.
Love him.
I love him more. Knock-a-doodle-doo.
Can I recommend something?
Can I just finish talking about Ted Lasso?
Okay.
Thank you. Is it okay to cry at every single episode of Ted Lasso? Because I think it's episode four, series two. There's only three series so far. Episode four, series two is the Christmas show.
Oh.
I mean, it's 29 minutes long and it beats all Richard Curtis Christmas films put together. It's unbelievable how they do it and how they achieve what they achieve. I was in bits. It's such a great episode. Have you seen it?
Yeah.
It's amazing, isn't it? Mm. So, sorry, Sinead, what were you going to say?
Sorry, I've got to do the news. If
you love The Office and you need something to replace it, Parks and Rec.
They've already seen it.
Oh.
Parks and Rec. And also the other one, it doesn't matter. The kids are all over it, aren't they? Of course they are.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Pass us over to you.
From 119 days to go, we're now T-6 and the Maranoia's beginning to bite. Yes, folks, we're gearing up for Sunday's TCS London Marathon, and nobody more so than our next guest. He is the Commander-in-Chief of Babs Army for Dementia Research, and he's a man we like a lot. He is Scott Mitchell.
Yeah, good morning, Scott Mitchell.
Good morning, Chris. Right, good morning, everyone.
People who don't know, what is Babs Army and who's in the army this year?
Okay, Babs Army is a team of incredible people who run in memory of my late wife, the lovely Barbara Windsor. So this year we've got Jake Wood. We've got quite a few of the EastEnders. We've got Jake Wood, Natalie Cassidy, Lacey Turner, Heather Peace, Adam Woodyatt, Tanya Franks. Plus we've got other runners as well. Adam's son is doing it with us. Sam, Daisy, Lacey's sister. We've got John McIntyre, who's one of the EastEnders supporting artists. I cannot tell you, this team are so incredible. It's a big ask, isn't it? It's not like just saying, can you look after my dog for the day?
Yeah, or can you turn up for a dinner?
Yeah. Do you want to train for 5 months and run the London Marathon with me? And these people say yes when they have full-time jobs, they have young children, a lot of them. So I am so grateful, Chris. I cannot tell you.
Yeah, and I've been watching Babs Army on Insta and your training runs and you've all been running together and been buddying up. It's been fun, hasn't it?
It's been absolutely brilliant. We've been putting videos up. Everyone's been putting putting their training videos up. And of course, everyone's at different stages. I mean, for instance, Lacey, this is her first marathon. So, you know, straight away there, she's got this incredible experience that she's going to have.
Yeah.
And like the rest of us, you know, I can think this is going to be my third in 4 years. Okay. And I can remember how scared I was that first time of the unknown, but also excited. And I'm really excited for her.
Yeah, and I'm envious of her. Let's call it like it is, because you do get an extra buzz. You get a little bit of extra juice in your legs, don't you?
Exactly, exactly. So, I mean, the thing about having done it now, I know what's coming. So I'm already worried about 19.
You're three marathons in, or you will be after Sunday, so you're heading towards double figures?
No, listen, I know what you're getting at here, Chris. That's a very sneaky one. I have said, and it has to be my last marathon.
Why does it have to be?
It just has to be, because no. I tell you why. 5 days later, yeah. I'm going to hit 60 years of age.
Yeah.
And I think that 3 is a lovely number. 60 is a lovely number. I'm still going to run. I will never stop running as long as my legs can hold up.
Right.
I will always run, but maybe not the actual marathon.
Well, you look awesome for somebody who's about to turn 60, doesn't it? Don't you think so?
Absolutely.
You look amazing, my friend. Amazing. Okay, so what? I mean, what a gang you've got running. That's a party waiting to happen. Where are we going straight after the race?
Listen, you just wait for us. You just wait for us, because you will be finished before us.
Yeah, but where are we going? What are we going to do?
I don't know. Listen, London is ours.
What's your post-marathon routine?
My post-marathon routine usually is I go back to Alzheimer's Research UK to have their reception. I'm an ambassador for them, yeah. And they hold a lovely little reception for us where we all can just flake out, and you're all spaced out, and yeah. Everyone's talking gibberish, and your legs are going.
The biggest delivery of the year.
Oh, it's going to be burger. It's going to be chips. It's going to be the chocolate shake. It's going to be ice cream. I don't care. I'm just going to go into this incredible oblivious food.
It's so funny, isn't it? Because we've started going for a curry the last few years, but we used to go for a steak and a bottle of wine, and I prefer the steak and bottle of wine, but it's just that's miles away. Whereas the curry house is, I mean, nothing wrong with the post-marathon curry at all.
Sure.
It's around the corner. But I do prefer a couple of pints of Guinness, a bit of pizza to start, then a full chicken each, and then some steak. Because you can eat what you want, can't you, Bassos?
Absolutely. You really can. And your metabolism is going so quickly.
Yeah.
And also, you've burned so many calories. You've run 26 and a bit miles. And just, but the thing is, you've spent, like you say, 5, 6 months, 119 days, however long it is, training for this. Then you run the marathon. Then you get your medal. So then just be kind to yourself.
Yeah,
just whatever you want.
Definitely. And I'll tell you what, you talk about what you're doing post-marathon. Jake Wood is planning to run the marathon and at 6 o'clock be on stage in the West End in 2:22 for his last performance with Cheryl. I cannot believe.
He's
wow.
a fit guy, isn't he? He's a fit dude. I mean, he did brilliantly on Strictly.
Oh,
but is anybody really that fit to finish the marathon and go on stage?
Has it ever been done?
No, I don't think so.
My brother, Nick, who at one stage of his life was like in the army and in the kind of the elite bit of the army. He wants.
What do you mean the SS?
He once ran the marathon, and he trained for it properly.
You can trust Vassos with anything, can't you?
Absolutely.
And then his wife decided that she wanted to run it with him, and he goes, "No, that's fine." But she was a bit slower than him, so he ran the marathon with her, and then she just completely passed out in the flat in the afternoon. She said, "I've got nothing left, thank you." And he was like pacing up and down, a little bit bored. So he thought, "I'll go to the gym." Marathon in the morning, gym in the afternoon.
No.
How's the training been going, Scott Mitchell? Who have you been running with? Give us a bit of that colour.
Okay, so we've been trying to get a few runs in, like with a group of us, which we've been doing.
Which is good fun, isn't it?
Which is great fun. I run a lot with Tanya Franks. Yeah. I mean, she, I always have done.
She's your wing woman, isn't she?
Absolutely. We and normally we kind of cross the line at the same second. It's always like on the same second. So we've done a lot together, but I've run with all of these guys. So we've all kind of been out. We've been having a laugh. We've been pulling each other through, which is absolutely fantastic. You know, as I say, the commitment that these people have shown is just incredible. And Barbara and I are so lucky to have friends like that that are prepared to step up.
If you want to get involved or follow Scott and the gang, it's at Babs Army on Instagram. How else can they get people get involved if they want to support you?
If anyone would like to Google Babs Army Enthuse, ENTHUSE,
And if you can spare us a few pennies to see us on our way, I would be so grateful. Thank you so, so much, everyone.
Right, so, Sinead, you have run a couple of halves, a few halves now.
I've run four, yes.
Tell us about yours.
Bristol, Bath twice, and then Brentwood, my hometown.
And it's I like the sound of Bath. You say it's a circuit course.
Yeah, so you go around the same thing twice around right. the town. But Bath's beautiful.
Stunning.
Bristol's a little more tricky because you've got the Portway, which means you go up like quite a big hill and nobody can be bothered to cheer around that bit.
Oh, no.
So it's quite
That's
lonely.
The bit you need them to cheer on as well.
Yeah, it's
lazy
quite lonely.
Lazy cheerers.
And then Brentwood is just lovely because that's, you know, where I grew up. So, but this was quite a few years ago and I used to be running all the time. The trouble is now I have two bad feet, one awaiting operation to correct a previous operation and the other one needs operating on two. So it's going to be quite
a while. Do you have a timeline for that?
Well, I wanted to get it done at the beginning of the year and then because of backlog, they delayed it and now it's too close to Glastonbury for me to get it done because otherwise I won't be able to walk there, so now I have to wait till after the summer.
Got it. All right, okay. Now, you know, you have had a very colourful life. You wrote a brilliant book about it. We had you on for your book a couple of months ago, didn't we, just before Christmas?
Absolutely.
And you know, you have been clean and sober for 21 years now.
Yeah.
Now, you know about getting high on your own supply via a marathon. It's just the best high imaginable because there's no downside to it. There's no hangover.
It is the best thing ever. I keep, you know, people must think I'm paid by the marathon to promote it. I'm not, but whoever I speak to, I just say to them, I beg you, do a marathon. I just said it to the cab driver.
It's such a hard sell, in a way, isn't it? It's so hard, yeah. Understandably, because it seems like a mountain.
Yeah, and you never think that you can achieve that, because that's the most common thing, isn't it? That people say, they say, oh, I couldn't run a marathon. I've done a 5K or a 10K, but I couldn't do a marathon. I say, yeah, you could.
Yeah.
Because I was 55 and I was never a runner. And it's the best feeling you will ever have in your life. Challenge yourself. And it doesn't matter how long it takes.
Look at your smile. You know. Look at his yeah. heart. Your whole yeah. face is smiling. It's so cool, man.
Well, I just think it gives you... I remember the feeling. I have not forgotten that feeling.
And it carries on. Because the yeah. next day, you know, you go to a party or whatever, you wake up the next day and you have a dopamine deficiency. So that's why you have the... There's lots of other reasons why you've got a headache and you've half poisoned yourself. But there's this massive dopamine low as opposed to the dopamine high. But you don't get that. No. So the runner's high carries on, doesn't it?
Oh, it's wonderful.
Have you delved into the science of that, Vassos, ever?
Nope.
Okay. Interesting. I've written three books about it. I wouldn't have done if I were you. Well, you are all over this, aren't you, as well? That's why you became addicted to it. There are positive addictions. You can get addicted to things that are good for you.
I never planned to run marathons. I just started running. I just started sort of getting fit in my 30s. And then I just started running. I ran a park run. And then I ran the Great North Run. And I thought, I wonder if, you know. And then I've gone further and further and further. But, you know, I have never. That sort of that finishing line, kind of that bubble of everything's all right with the world. Mm. If somebody gives you a bit of, what was that program you were talking about? Beef.
Beef,
where there's a little bit of road rage.
Grief.
Yeah.
You don't get road rage. You go, oh, don't worry. If you want to hoot me, that's fine. I'll come and give me a hug.
So that's
it's
the
right.
best thing.
Yeah.
Just you saying that. Because you remember things, don't you? As it gets closer, you remember things. And then as it gets underway, you remember things. Mm. And the more you do them, the more you get to see, because you're very, you know, when we're nervous, we get focused and we develop natural blinkers. Mm. You only see what's in front of you. And then the second time you do it, you get a bit more of a peripheral vision and you're running your third this year. Mm. So you will have seen more things on your second than your first. And you'll see even more things this time around. You might even notice like things like Big Ben. And my friend ran the Paris Marathon for the first time ever 2 weeks ago. She said, I didn't see the Eiffel Tower.
Yeah.
I said, but you do run past it. She went, I know, but I just didn't see it. That kind of thing, you know?
Yeah, yeah. To me, the most wonderful feeling is running over Tower Bridge.
Yeah.
That halfway.
Is it halfway
point.
As well, isn't
the
it?
The halfway point. And there is nothing more iconic than running over Tower Bridge. When there's no traffic.
It's packed and the cheer is so loud.
Yeah.
It's 20 deep either side, isn't it?
Oh, it's just absolutely amazing.
I wish we could go and do it now. I really do.
I know.
It's funny though, isn't it? It's the story you tell yourself. It's the story your brain tells your heart and your heart tells your legs. Because, of course, at Tower Bridge, you're halfway. And can you imagine if you could finish then? Mm. Halfway, you'd be like, it's the greatest thing in the world. You have to run another 13 miles. And we know that halfway is only 20 miles. It's not actually 13 because that's how it all pans out. But the story, you know, if we were running to Tower Bridge, you know, with 6 miles, we'd be thinking, oh, we're halfway now. But it's just the story you tell yourself,
exactly,
isn't it?
Yeah.
That's why Tower Bridge is so joyous, because it's only 13 miles. But if it were 13 miles and that was it, it would feel entirely different.
Well, that's, you know, and people say, how do you run 100 miles? Well, it's the same. It's the same thing. You just scale it up a bit, you know?
Well, you know, he's only saying this because he's just signed up for his first 200 miler.
No.
What?
No, have you really, Vessos? Yeah, it's, yeah, it's a wow. new thing. The guys that do the Centurion, James, who runs Centurion races that I love, he has just put on, I think it's the UK's first 200-mile just continuous race. It's all of the South Downs Way and then I think the North Downs Way. So
eight marathons.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So 100 miles will be his Tower Bridge, Scott.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear.
What did you notice in the second one that you didn't notice in the first one? What do you think you might notice in the third one?
I think in the second one, I was, in a way, waiting for that 18, 19-mile right. phase. You know,
the wall-ish.
Yeah. And it was very interesting. I was promoting this the other day, and Eddie Izzard was on. And she said to me, walk, stagger, run, you just get through it. And as you know, that's a real kind of marathon after marathon daily.
Is
what she's done. And... she said that she believes that there is no such thing as the wall. She thinks it's all mental.
Yeah, of course it is. Yeah.
It's all mental. You build yourself up because you've heard about it.
Yeah.
And actually,
that's a very good point.
And I thought that was a really good thing. And I'm going to try and use that this time because that's what happened to me, certainly the first time and second time.
I think it's like life. If you don't focus on yourself and focus on other people, you have a much better existence. And I think if you don't focus on your race and focus on the crowds, it's a bit like a mini version of the macro of helping other people instead of yourself.
Exactly. You and honestly, you know, I always say this, I'm not worried about the time. Vassos has a wonderful friend called Martin Yelling, and another fine runner, and he said at the beginning, and he said it every year that I've done it, he says, look, I'm going to give you the news now, you ain't going to win it.
Yeah, yeah.
He said, just get round, Scott. Just in your own time, enjoy the
day.
Enjoy it! And that is the most thing, and you know, and not get injured, or that's the whole point of the paranoia creeping in as well.
Don't let your time spoil your time.
Exactly.
I texted you the other day, I think it was on Thursday or Friday, because I received a text from you the night before, so I wanted to text you straight away when I woke up, purely because I'd forget otherwise, because once the day gets hold of me, I'm rubbish. And the show is like so forefront of my mind, and I love it, and you know, it messes with my biochemistry, and I just forget about everything else. So I texted you straight away at 4:15.
Yes.
And he texted me straight back because he was up with paranoia.
Yes.
He said, I'm up with paranoia. I went, but it's not for 10 days. He said, yeah, and I went to the Panto Awards last night.
You've gone early there, Scott.
I said, oh no, you didn't. He texted back, oh yes, I flipping well did, or something to that effect. How were the Panto Awards?
The Panto Awards, well, this is it. This is where the paranoia really crept in. Someone sitting behind me had a really bad cough. Now, every time they coughed, I felt the wind, their breath against my neck. And every time it happened, I leant right forward, literally putting my knees like on the floor, my head into the floor. I was so worried, but I was so angry about this coughing. And I just thought, what if I turn around? It's bound to end in me fighting Widow Twankey or something. It would just be not a good look.
It might have been Sir Ian McKellen, who won an award that night.
Yes, he did win an award that
night. Special award.
And, of course, we had Biggins hosting, and as you would expect, at the National Panto Awards. It was such fun.
And Vernon Kay won Best Newcomer.
Vernon Kay, I would have loved to have seen
Vernon,
it.
I like Vernon.
Oh, he was so enthusiastic. He was about Panto like I am about marathon running.
Right, at Babs Army, that's Instagram. One more time, where else?
If you Google Babs Army, enthuse, E-N-T-H-U-S-E, and if you could help us reach our target, I'd be so grateful, everyone. Thank you.
All right, and give your gang a shout-out one more time. Who's running with you?
Okay, Jake Wood, Natalie Cassidy, Lacey Turner, Heather Peace, Adam Woodgett, Sam Woodgett, John McIntyre, Daisy Luckett, Candice Brown, Tanya Franks, and myself.
The one, the only Scott Mitchell, everybody!
Woo! See you on Sunday.
Okay, yes. It's his third marathon. He's aiming for 10 marathons.
He's not.
Look how happy you are. This is good for you.
I know, but I'll just run shorter.
You need a super dry top. You're like a Hollywood super. That's the kind of things that people, you know, they're papped in LA wearing, that kind of stuff, aren't they? You look so cool.
Thank you.
all that you're missing is a wild bean coffee or something. Is that what they... Yeah, and one of those a paper bag full of groceries, you know.
And this can be done.
A little toy dog. Do you have a toy dog?
I don't know. I don't have a dog. I won't have a dog.
Okay, forget it. Sorry, dogs. Okay. No offence. Once again, at Babs Army, we're back tomorrow. Sinead, have a great rest.
Thank you.
Looking forward to it. Back a week today?
Yes.
All right.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.